tonight, Ezekiel chapter number 2. If you get the thought, I believe you can make your own outline. Amen. In Ezekiel chapter number 2. Book of Ezekiel chapter number 2. Ezekiel. Is that a New Testament there, Kenneth? You're not going to find Ezekiel in there. Somebody loan him a Bible around, if you will. Let him look on it. There you go. Brother Ray's going to help you out there, Brother Kenneth. There we go. Amen. Ezekiel chapter number 2. We'll begin reading in verse number 6. The Bible says, "And thou, son of man, be not afraid. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost well among scorpions." What a fascinating phrase right there. As I was studying this passage, that just kind of stood out to me, just that phrase there. He says, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost well among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. When I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. If you get in your mind here, we have in America the custom of a book as a cover, and then the pages between. This is a scroll, often referred to as a roll, that God had obviously opened up and presented it before him. Sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. I'll stop reading for now there. I want you to see this evening a God-called prophet. I want you to see this God-called prophet struggling with God's call on him. I want you to see this man of God that knows that God has called him. I want you to see him struggling with what God has called him to do. Also, I want you to all see that this is a great application of any believer that may be struggling with God's will for their life. That is what God wants you to do. God may not have called you to ministry, but he may have. But God has a direction that he wants his children to go. And that may come headlong into your direction. The struggle that is very real and very present when God's will runs full bore into our own will. This is Ezekiel. Ezekiel, as all of God's men, was just flesh and blood. No more than you or I. Just human. Flesh and blood. Being flesh and blood, he as well struggled with God's plan for his life. I've said this before. I don't know that I've ever preached on it. I believe Ezekiel was rebellious toward God. And I can't really be dogmatic about it, but I'll give you some scripture and you may see the same thing. If we look in chapter number 2, verse number 1 and 2, watch this. He said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet. and I will speak unto thee. And notice verse 2. The Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me up upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. God causing him to stand up. There in chapter number 3, verse number 1 through 3, we get little hints of it. Moreover, God came and told him, said, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. Notice verse 2, that I opened my mouth, and watch this, he caused me to eat that roll. Not that he took it in himself, but God, in essence, I believe, had to force feed him that roll. And the Bible says in verse number 3, then he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat. What is he saying there? Swallow it. Take it down. How many of you, we watch children sometimes when they're eating food that they don't really like, and they'll take that food and just keep it in their mouth. 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 Why? They don't want to swallow it. They don't want to swallow it. And so it's like that. He took the word. He didn't take the word in. God caused him to take it in. And then God had to come and tell him, now swallow it. Cause thy belly to eat. Fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. And the Bible says he did eat it. It was in his mouth as honey for sweetness. Notice that phrase there. We'll come back to it. But here, this individual that struggled with God's will for his life. God's will for his life. Here he said that word was in his mouth as honey. And notice, though, he didn't tell us how it felt when he swallowed it. I believe it's the same process. If we look over in Revelation chapter number 10, I've got it marked. I can read it to you in Revelation chapter number 10, where John was there in Revelation chapter number 10 and Revelation 10 verses 9 and 10. Listen to these. It says, and I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me this little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly, look at this, bitter. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. I gather from that particular passage in verse 10, I took the little book out of the angel's hand, ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. Just like that roll that God told Ezekiel to eat, in his mouth it was sweet as honey. But we could probably gather that when he swallowed it, it was very bitter. Verse number 14, notice these words. The Bible says, so the Spirit, this is Ezekiel, is struggling with God's direction, God's will for his life. So the Spirit lifted me up, took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. There in verse number 18, there we read the words, and this is, by the way, the only prophet that God said these words to, we use so often. Verse number 18, when I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, he's talking to Ezekiel, and thou givest him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked of his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require thine hand. This is Ezekiel that God says this to. Ezekiel, the man that I believe struggled with the will of God. Chapter number 8, verses 1 and 2. Chapter number 8, verses 1 and 2. Here again, this vision of Ezekiel. 2 and 3. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And the Bible says this is his vision, that he, talking about God, put forth the form of an hand and took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate. When I envision this sight that Ezekiel saw, I see a frustrated God. I see an angry, frustrated God at this man that was called by me. God talking about Ezekiel, that this man was called by me, constantly fighting against my will. Reaches down and grabs him by the hair of his head. Can you see that? That's Ezekiel. That's Ezekiel. Ezekiel, this God-called prophet, struggling with God's will for him. And again, the application could be made as well that many believers that struggle with what God has for them to do. All of these, coupled with the word spoken in chapter 2, verse number 8, listen to this. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Ezekiel, don't you be rebellious. Don't you fight against this, Ezekiel. Don't be rebellious. When you read those words, you get the understanding of this powerful example of the battle between the flesh and the spirit. The battle between the flesh and the spirit. I want to draw your attention over to chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, where we read the word of the Lord coming to Ezekiel, the son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And then he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat. Fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. I want to use those passages there. That is my text. With the Lord's help tonight, I want to preach on this subject, things that are hard to swallow. Things that are hard to swallow. And there's some things that are hard to swallow. And I believe that's the case with Ezekiel here. It came down to what God had called Ezekiel to do, and Ezekiel was having a hard time swallowing it. It got in his mouth, and I guess it had a certain pleasing to his taste. It tasted good, but to swallow it, that's a whole other story. When we talk about things that are hard to swallow, we usually mean that we're having difficulty receiving them and accepting them. But I'll remind you, listen, if you intend to be a partaker of the fullness of your salvation, to be able to experience the abundant life promised by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and if you expect to be productive in the harvest of souls in the world in which we live, then there are some things that we're going to have to swallow. There are some things we're going to have to swallow. And so, tonight, I want to bring your attention to these truths. Listen, by swallowing them, we are saying we have settled them. We've settled them in our hearts and in our minds, so that we can now live accordingly as God would lead us. I believe the goal of the Lord is found in, let me see if I can find the passage there, verse number 10. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, notice this, this is what he's wanting us to do when he asks us to swallow them. Receive them in thine heart and hear with thine ears. Take this word, the word of lamentations and mourning and woe. Swallow them. Receive them into your heart and hear with thine ears. Take it in. Take it in. Some things that are hard to swallow. When we see in Ezekiel's case here, I see number one, I've got, I think, six things here. Number one, Ezekiel had to swallow, let me say this, Ezekiel had to swallow his wimpiness. His wimpiness. I don't know how many times God tells him not to be afraid, but it seems evident he was afraid. The Bible says, we open up in verse number 6 of chapter 2, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. And then we have the little phrase that I alluded to earlier, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou doest well among scorpions. You know what I think that is? And you can meditate on it and come up with your own conclusion. But he's acknowledging Ezekiel's manliness here. If you will, he's acknowledging Ezekiel's macho-ness, if that's a word, amen. He says, it's almost like he's saying you're like John the Baptist. Remember John the Baptist? Can you imagine what John the Baptist looked like? Eating that honey and or wearing a leathern girdle. Just a wild man out in the wilderness. I mean, just going at it. Look at him, you think, man, that guy's like a wild animal. Ezekiel, I believe God's alluding to Ezekiel as this type of person. He's a tough guy. He's a tough guy. He can handle the world in so many different areas. He says, though briars and thorns be with thee, you're tough. You can handle it. You're strong. You got a high pain tolerance. You can handle these things. And he says, and thou doest well among scorpions. All this tough guy, Ezekiel. But when it come to serving God, he was a coward. Can I say that with righteous indignation? He was a coward. God alluded to that when he said, hey, though you're a man that briars and thorns don't bother you and scorpions don't bother you, when it comes to standing up for God, you face a lot of fears. So Ezekiel was going to have to confront his wimpiness. Over and over, God says, be not afraid, be not afraid, be not afraid, be not afraid of their words, nor dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And we look up at verse number 28 of chapter 1. God becomes to him in a vision. The Bible says, the appearance of a bow that is in the cloud. In the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the lightness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, he said, I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of one that spake. I submit to you, and I consider that it may be fear that he had, that his falling upon his face was not in worship. He was scared to death. He was scared to death. He had to swallow his wimpiness. Boy, I tell you, a lot of God's children need to do that today. My goodness, we'll get out there and we'll bust our knuckles and, man, we'll scrape our knees and we'll do all sorts of manly type things. And we can say manly. And when it comes to talking about the things of God, it's like, oh, no, please leave me alone. You have to swallow that. A lot of God's children need to swallow that. Swallow it. Get rid of it. Let it be gone. Swallow that thing that's going to cripple your ability to be used by God in such a mighty way. He was afraid. Verse number 6, we can understand. He said, don't be afraid of their words. Don't be afraid of their words. Not only that, verse number 6, he says also, don't be afraid of their looks. Don't be afraid of their looks. Step up, Ezekiel. Be a man, Ezekiel. Stop being afraid, Ezekiel. Swallow your fear. Swallow your wimpiness. Not only their words, not only their looks. Verse number 7, I believe we said we get there that they would be mockings. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Whether they hear, whether they don't hear. Whether they hear, whether they reject it. Whether they hear, whether they rebel. Whether it's in season, whether it's out season, whether everybody else is doing it or nobody's doing it. We understand it's right, and we take courage, and we do what's right. I love Michael that sat down front here this morning. I loved it. I said, man, are you sitting here waiting on your sister to come down out of choir? He said, no, this is what we do at our church. I just do what we do at our church. He didn't consult with any of you. As far as I know, he didn't consult with his sister. She probably talked to him a little bit about it. And he just told her, said, this is what I do. I'm not, you know what he told me? I'm not sitting in the back. Amen. Like David, God, man after my own heart. And not only that, do you notice if you were in here this morning, he stood up when we read the Bible. You know what I'm saying? He didn't consult with any of y'all. He wasn't concerned about what y'all thought about it. This is what we do, and we're going to do it. Most of us, this is what we do. What's everybody else doing? and that'll determine what I do. What about courage? What about just doing what you're supposed to do regardless of what everybody else does? Amen. Amen. He had to swallow that. Y'all still with me tonight? He had to swallow it. Though briars and thorns dwell among you. Yeah, you're a tough guy, but when it comes to serving the Lord, you're a coward, Ezekiel. And that cowardness to God was seen as rebellion. Amen. Uh-oh. See, I wasn't planning on being long, but I might have to be a little while if it's going to be like this. Amen. He had to face, he had to swallow his wimpiness. Listen, unto God, where is the soldierly saint that would gladly receive the orders from the captain, fearing nobody else in order to obey that command? Where are they at? God help us. God help us. Where are they at? Children. They're afraid of their peers. Parents fear their children. Isn't that a mess? Parents fear their children. Oh no, it'd be a cold day where the boogeyman lives where that happened in the Fisher household. Truth of the matter is, a lot of parents serve God up until the point their children, like a plow, drop it in the ground and say, ain't moving no more. Ooh. Husbands fear their wives. Workers fear the boss. We have people that fear man. What about I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. That's what we do. We recognize this is right and it's what we do. God called Ezekiel, and Ezekiel was scared to death. He was going to have to swallow his wimpiness. Number two, he had to swallow. He had to swallow his will, not my will. Had to swallow that. That's what a lot of God's people need to do today. They need to swallow that it's his will, not mine, that matters. His will, not mine. You're taking that in your mouth, you chew on a little bit, and you say, boy, that sounds good, it even tastes good. But you won't swallow it. You won't swallow it. And God told him to eat it. His will, not mine. Verse number 8, the Bible says, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. Don't be rebellious. Submit to my will. You had to swallow the his will, not my will, be done. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2. We know those words there. We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The will of God, the will of God, the will of God. You're supposed to submit to God's will. We like to talk about it. We teach other people about it. We tell them it's the right thing to do. What about us? Do we do it? Or do you just, one of those things that you just kind of keep in your mouth and you chew on from time to time? You just never swallowed it. Things that are hard to swallow. He had to swallow it. It's not my will. It's his will that matters. Number three, he had to swallow God's way, not his way. God's way, not his way. If you look there in verse number 9 and 10, the Bible says, when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. We don't like those things. God, I don't want to deal with lamentations and mournings and woe. But the problem is, that's exactly what God told him to do. That's part of God's plan. That's part of God's will. That was God's direction for him. That's God's way. God's way. He had to swallow God's way, not his way. Well, many of children of God need to determine that God has a way for them to walk. Paul said, this is the way, walk ye in it. We understand the book of Proverbs tells us that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God's way. God's way. Lamentation speaks of brokenness. Mourning speaks of sorrow. And woe speaks of God's judgment. God's way, Cain. Cain tried to bring before the Lord the fruit of his hands. It wasn't God's way. God's way, Moses. Moses said, don't send me, let Aaron go. I'm a man slow of speech and slow of tongue. It's God's way. Abraham had to learn the value of God's way. Listen, this must be God's plan. You're to have a child with my handmaiden. And of course, Ishmael came along. And boy, the problems that came with that did not wait upon God. Jeroboam said, listen, if I send people down to Jerusalem to serve the Lord, they'll turn their backs on me and they'll kill me. We'll build a place of worship up here, going against God's way. Joseph was espoused to Mary, had to learn that it's God's way. The disciples at the crucifixion had to learn that it's God's way that matters. And Paul on the road to Damascus had to learn that it was the Lord Jesus Christ that brings salvation. God's way. Ezekiel. Ezekiel didn't want to be a part of this lamentations and mourning and woe. Let me ask you, what has God called you to do, but you continue to fight against because it doesn't go the way you think it ought to be going? Way of God. He had to swallow that. You know what you need to do? You need to swallow that. You need to swallow it. You need to swallow the God's way, not your way. Number four, he had to swallow the truth of God's Word being final, the Word of God. Of course, verses 1 through 3, we know he opened the mouth and caused me to eat the rolls. Talking about here God's Word, God's proclamation to the children of Israel through him that is the Word of God. He said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat. Fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. The Word of God. We know that. I'm not telling you nothing new in this. The Word of God being final. Need to swallow that. Sometimes we allow man's opinion to override the Bible. We allow our own personal views to override the Bible. Very easily justify away certain things and not allow the Word of God to be the final rule of faith and practice. He had to swallow the fact that it was God's Word that was final. It may be hard to swallow, to take. It may be hard to take in. The Bible says He caused me to eat. It may be hard to chew up as we try to break it down. It may be hard to swallow. It may be hard to keep down. But you got to swallow it. You got to swallow that the Word of God is final. Number five, you got to swallow that he needed to swallow that God had a work for him to do. Listen, there's not to be any spectators in this race. We're all called to run this race. There's a place for you to serve God, not just exist in God's economy. God has a place for all of His. He would have said, pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest if there was not a need for laborers to go into that harvest. God has a work for you. Ezekiel had to swallow the fact that God had a work for him. Verses 4 through 6, notice after he was to take in the Word, after he was taking the Word of God, the Bible says, immediately he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, speak with my words unto them, for thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech or of a hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many people of a strange speech or of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. Notice, again, this familiarity breeds contempt. It's like if I sent you to a people that didn't understand you, they would receive it. But because I'm sending you to a people that know exactly what you're talking about, they're so hard-hearted, they're going to reject it. But God had a work for him to do. And if I was Ezekiel, I wouldn't want to go to that bunch either. But it's what God called him to do. It's what God called him to do. When I think about the work that God called him to do, I see that it involved it required obedience. Verse number 4, go. Go. Not only obedience, but direction. Go to. Not only go, but go get thee unto the house of Israel. It came with instruction. He said to when you go to the house of Israel, speak with my words unto them. And it came with warning that chances are they're not going to listen. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter to God. God told him to go to the house of Israel, speak his words, even though they don't listen. That's what I want you to do, Ezekiel. Wait, listen, it's not worth it. I've looked at it, I've talked to all my friends, it's not very productive, it's not very lucrative, I don't think I'll do it, I'll look for something else to do. Yeah, I know, and you will be a miserable wreck your whole life. Because God has a work for you to do. Now, he had to swallow that. Number six, by the way, I've got 8 points. Number six, he had to swallow this. Hey, get this, I like this. He had to swallow this. He had to swallow that he, in God's economy, in God's work, in God's family, if you will, in God's calling upon him, he had to swallow this truth. He's not of this world. He's not of this world. You know, sometimes I believe a lot of God's children have a hard time serving God entirely because they have too many roots in this world. But Ezekiel, you're not of this world. And people of God, this world is not your home. You are just a passing through. Your treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We're pilgrims, the Bible says. We are strangers. We are sojourners in this life, in this land, and in this life. This is not our home. Ezekiel had to swallow the fact, you know what? I know I am an Israelite. I know I am a part of this captivity. But I'm not of this world. He had to swallow that. You know, when you swallow that, then you'll begin to live a life that can be defined as a journey with God. He had to swallow that. Verse number 7 through 9. But of this, but the house of Israel, look, notice this, will not hearken unto thee. For, notice why God says they won't hearken unto him. He says, for they will not hearken unto me. See? Sometimes we take it personal. They're rejecting me. No, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. So Ezekiel had to understand that I'm not of this world. I belong to God. I'm serving him. And when they reject me, they're not rejecting me. They're rejecting the God that I am an ambassador for. Because I'm not of this world. He said they've rejected, they won't hearken to you because they hearken not to me, unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Ezekiel had to at some point realize that, yeah, I may know all of those people, but I'm not with those people. See, so many times we want to fit into this world, and that hurts us with what God may have for us to do. But the sooner that we swallow the fact that I'm not of this world, the sooner you swallow the fact that this world is not my home, the sooner you'll be able to experience all the fullness that God has for you. See, your fear of being an outcast, you're worried about what friends may say to you, and I don't want to feel that way. I don't feel that outcast. I don't want to feel that way. Why don't you just go ahead and swallow the fact you're not of this world? And they rejected God, chances are they'll reject you also. And that's normal in God's economy because you're not of this world. He had to swallow that. He had to swallow that. He had to swallow next, number 7. He had to swallow this. He had to swallow that there would be times in which he would have to wait on the Lord. There would be those times. If we turned over to chapter 3, verse number 15, again here, this is after he said, the Lord lifted me up there and took me away and went in bitterness in the heat of his spirit. We see in verse number 15, it says, then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib, that dwelt by the river Kibar. And look at this. And I sat where they sat, remained there astonished among them 7 days. 7 days. He had to wait. I don't know what he waited for here necessarily. I just know he waited 7 days. The Bible says he sat there astonished. Maybe over how God has directed him to go. Maybe doing some introspective examination. But 7 days. 7 days. He waited. Many in the Bible, once God directed them, they waited. We know that Paul, of course, the Bible says immediately began to preach Christ, but there was a time when he was learning and being taught by Gamaliel, as the history books tell us. Time. We know Isaiah chapter number 40, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's the time to wait. He had to swallow that. He had to swallow that there would be times in which he would have to wait on the Lord. We see that in verse number 15. And then number 8, this is my last point. He had to swallow that God called him to be a watchman. That's every one of us. He had to swallow that. I believe it was not open for discussion with God. God had established, this is your job. You are a watchman. Whether you're a good watchman or not does not matter to me. That's your job. You are a watchman. You do a good job at it. You deliver your soul. You do a bad job at it. Their blood will I require at thy hand. Regardless, you're a watchman. Of course, we have those words there in chapter 3, verse number 16 through 21. And it came to pass, this is the end of the 7 days, the waiting on God, sat there astonished. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked of his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, the Bible says, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, and he shall surely live, because he is warned, also thou hast delivered thy soul. Ezekiel, you got to swallow some things. Take that book, and that book covers so much of what God's direction is for you and I. Take that book and take it in. Take it in. I believe if we as God's children would recognize the things of God are not something to just kind of be familiar with. They are to be taken in. Taken in. That is that we swallow them. That is that we accept them and receive them accordingly. Things that are hard to swallow. Ezekiel, you're going to have to swallow your wimpiness and be courageous. Ezekiel, you're going to have to swallow that it's my will that matters, not yours. Ezekiel, you're going to have to swallow that it's God's way, not your way. Child of God, we got to swallow that it's God's word that is final. We've got to swallow that God has a work for us to do. We need to swallow that we are not of this world. We need to swallow that there'll be times we're going to have to wait on the Lord. We're going to have to swallow that God has called every one of us to be a watchman. The sooner you take that in, the sooner you begin to have a full life of happiness and joy But you fight against that. You fight against that, and you're gonna feel a whole lot like Ezekiel there, chapter number 8, where it took the hand of God grabbing him up by the hair of his head. At times it seems, in closing tonight, at times it seems God asks of us things that we think we cannot do. We know God has called us and God has given us some direction, but to do those things seems unbearable. No, it's not unbearable. It's just kind of hard to swallow. But just like medicine to a sick person, make you better even though it may taste terrible. Swallowing these things. By swallowing these things, you will become, as Ezekiel did, a powerhouse for God. Powerhouse for God. That's what I want to do. And that's what I want for you as well. Let's stand together, heads back.